God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death, hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. That being how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scripture, that He was buried, and on the third day He rose again for our justification. He's why we're here this evening. He was why we were here this morning. He's why we're here every time that we meet, is to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And He tells us in His Word, a wonderful promise, where two or three are gathered together in My name, I'll be in the midst. We need to recognize our unseen guest in a great way. And I thank You for the good song service. I believe You've exalted our Lord in the song service. And Brother Flavis and Sister Glenda, I appreciate the good singing. One day when I'm yonder in the heavenly choir, I'll be able to sing like that too. And I'm looking forward to that. Call our attention to the book of Romans. We're going to read a few verses in the 13th chapter, but to get the setting, let's go back to chapter 1. Chapter 1, we find the Apostle Paul is being used of God to write this letter, and he tells us to whom he's writing here in the 7th verse, but let's look at verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, a bondslave of Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which He hath promised afore by His prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning His Son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship, for obedience to the faith among all nations for His name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. Now here is to whom he's writing. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So immediately we find he's writing to God's people, those who have been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. So we are here tonight. Been redeemed by the precious blood of Christ, and we've come to study His Word, for Him to speak to our hearts through His Word, accompanied by the Holy Spirit. And now in the 13th chapter, begin reading in verse 11. Keep in mind, he's writing to us, writing to God's people, and that knowing the time, that now is high time to wake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Time to wake out of sleep, because our salvation is nearer than when we believed. Now, what's he talking about there? I thought we were already saved. Well, I'll show you in Romans 8th chapter and verse 23 what he's talking about. Romans 8th chapter and verse 23. Well, verse 22 and 23. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. He's talking about glorification here, the coming of the Lord. And he said that knowing the time, that now is high time to wake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. We note this encourages a life of spiritual alertness and moral purity as we study these verses. The time is short. The dispensation of grace is drawing to a close, he's telling us. The lateness of the hour demands that all, could I say, lethargy and inactivity be put away. Our salvation is nearer than ever. The Savior is coming to take us to the Father's house. He could come tonight, couldn't he? So it's time to wake out of sleep. Our salvation, our glorification is nearer than when we believed. He said, the night is far spent. the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. The present age is a life of night of sin, really. It's a night of sin that has just about run its course, beloved. I'm listening, looking, waiting, yearning for the coming of our Lord. The day of eternal glory is about to dawn for believers. In order to be an optimist, we've got to look beyond this veil of tears, haven't we? We're living in dark days. We're living in perilous times. We're living in dangerous times. But these are the times the Lord says, look up. Our redemption draws nigh. We should cast off all filthy garments of worldliness and unrighteousness, he's saying here. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Put on the armor of light. This means the protective covering of a holy life dedicated to the Lord. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in riotousness and drunkenness, nor in chambering and wantonness, nor in strife and envying, but put you on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. He's speaking here more about sanctification, growing in grace and knowledge of our Lord and being more like the Lord, the lifestyle that the Lord had. But I'd like for us to think and study together tonight on wearing the armor of light. Here we are redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. He paid it all at Calvary for us. He died. He gave His life. They didn't take His life. He said, no man can take my life from me. I have the power to lay it down. I have the power to take it again. When He was on the cross, He said, it's finished. And having said thus, He dismissed His spirit. He gave His life for sinners like us. And He was buried, and on the third day He rose again for our justification, as we're told in Romans 4:25. He was delivered for our offenses. But He was raised again for our justification. And here we are tonight under the blood of Christ. Isn't it wonderful to be a child of God? Isn't it wonderful to be a member of the family of God? So He says here to put on the armor of light. Verse 11 reveals that the Lord's people need to awake out of sleep and remain awake in the Lord's Word. You know, when we're asleep, it's inactivity. There's not activity going on when we're asleep. And He said, it's time to wake up and become active in the service of our Lord. In Ephesians 2:10, we're His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk therein. Verse 12 challenges God's people to put on the armor of light and to wear it. So we want to look at that tonight in our study. There's much to be done in these last days before the return of Christ for His own. There are three things I want us to consider in this message. First of all, we want to look at some reasons for wearing the armor of light. Secondly, we want to look at what it is to wear the armor of light. And then thirdly, we'll look at some results of wearing this armor of light. So wearing the armor of light. Talking to us, talking to God's people. Where do I fit in? Where do you fit in as we listen to the Lord as He speaks to us through His Word? Some reasons for wearing the armor of light. God's abundant blessings, which we have the privilege of enjoying. You and I, as God's children, have many wonderful privileges of enjoying the blessings that God has for us. God has many gifts available to mankind. Look with me in James chapter 1, verse 17 and 18, would you please? Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And He goes on in verse 18, says, of His own will begot He us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. So, He has given us salvation. in and through the finished work of His Son, Jesus Christ. Many gifts He has given us. He has filled the earth with His goodness. We're told in Psalms 33 and 5, the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. Every way we turn, we see the handiwork of God. We see the goodness of God. And we're told in the book of Romans that the goodness of God leads thee to repentance. So every way we turn, we see the hand of the Lord. The psalmist says, when I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the stars and the sun, moon, which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? He said, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. When we are dismissed in a little bit, we'll walk out and we see the clouds. And you know the Bible says the clouds are just the dust of His feet. In a beautiful night when the sun is shattered into a million stars, we can see the handiwork of the Creator. We can see the handiwork of our Master. So, some reason for wearing the armor of light. He has saved us. And He has saved us and left us here for a purpose. And that's to get glory from our lives. And God gets glory from His children's life through His church. Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages. World without end. So many fail to return anything to Him in appreciation. The psalmist says in Psalms 116 and 12, what shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits toward me? What should I, as God's child, render unto the Lord for all His benefits toward me? Should it not be a dedicated life that will bring honor and glory to the Lord, utilizing the talents He has given us to bring honor to Him and a blessing to others? I appreciate Brother Flava, Sister Glenda, utilizing the talents God given them to sing for the honor and glory of the Lord. They're not singing for praise from man, but for the honor and glory of the Lord. And I appreciate that. I appreciate our teachers that spend time studying the Word of God to impart the truth of the Word of God to us. How I appreciate that and how it'll bring glory to the Lord. Time and possessions may be used for selfish desires and to dishonor God. So much and so many times this is true. Let's go to the 12th chapter of the book of Luke. And I'll show you where this is true in this particular case as we study together the Bible. We find in verse 15 of the 12th chapter, He said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. He spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. He thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. He said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. There will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thy fool, this night shall thy soul be required of thee, then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself, and is not rich toward God. How often this could be in our lives if we're not very careful and very cautious. We can utilize the things that God has blessed us with for selfish reasons, can't we? Like that rich man, he had eye trouble. He left God out of his life. God called him a fool. You know what the Bible says? The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. But he failed to realize that he's going to face the Almighty God, just as I am and just as you are. We're going to face the eternal Almighty God. As we show our appreciation for His blessings, other blessings come. And that's why we're told in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, And all these things shall be added unto you. We made mention this morning about your plans for the future. What is your plans for tomorrow, for next week? Do you plan to live tomorrow, next week? Do you plan to live a year, 100 years from now? What then? What then? What's going to be important to us then? When we breathe our last breath. When our heart pumps its last pump. And God controls that. What then? So what's going to be important to us then? Whatever that's going to be then, it ought to be now. Because we do not know what tomorrow may hold. The Lord ought to have priority in all of our lives. Every day He permits us to live and move and have our being. He gives abundant satisfaction to the ones who honor, the ones who respect, worship, and serve Him. We could go to the 36th division of Psalms, verses 5 through 10, I believe it is, and share that, but we won't take the time. Note the challenge in His Word to put on and wear the armor of light in verse 12. Look at that. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. As I look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3, 4, 5, and along there, where Paul said, if our gospel be hid, is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Paul said, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. And when I look at that, and I look at the world in darkness, and faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, and God has deposited His truth with His church, and He says, give it out. Be a channel Christian. There's no such thing as a reservoir Christian. Taking in, never giving out. Taking in, never giving out. Be a channel Christian. And give out the truth of the Word of the Lord. What did Jesus say to His church? To His disciples in Matthew 5:14, He said, you're the light of the world. Then He said in verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. The purpose of the Christian life is to bring honor and glory to the Lord, and others can see that Christ is real in our lives. What are some evidence in our lives to the world that we belong to the Lord? Well, the fruits of the Spirit is love and joy and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness and temperance. Against such there is no law. People can look at our lives. And you know our lives is perhaps the only Bible that a lot of people live. What does our life depict to those that are lost? Can they see Jesus living through us? That's what Christianity is. The outliving of the indwelling Christ. And people ought to be able to see others in us. And that's why we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ. As God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For He hath made Him, God hath made Jesus to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. What is it to be a Christian? Someone said to be Christ-like. To be Christ-like. Well, is this not what He's teaching us? It's time to wake up out of sleep. It's time to put off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light that others may see Christ is real in our lives. The door of tremendous opportunity is open to wearers of the armor of light. I read a situation in the life of Paul in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 8 and 9, I believe it is. He said, I'll tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost. Then in verse 9, he said, for a great door and effectual is open unto me. There are many adversaries. Beloved, we can expect adversaries as we share the truth of the Word of God. Everybody's not going to adhere to the truth of the Word of God. And there's going to be some adversaries, but that doesn't lessen our responsibility to share out of a heart of love and out of a heart of compassion the truth of the Word of God. Now let's look at what it is to wear the armor of light. Well, it's a consciousness of our responsibility as His representatives. It's a consciousness of our responsibility as a representative of the Lord. He is yonder at the right hand of the Father as our intercessor, our mediator. He's left us in this world as His representative. Let's go to, I believe it's 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and let's read a few verses together there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We read these words, beginning in verse 1. But of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travaileth upon a woman with child. They shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are the children of light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep, as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, for in helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. So, it's a consciousness of our responsibility as His representative. I have no hands but your hands. I have no tongue but your tongue. I have no feet but your feet. The greatest honor that could come to man is to be saved by the eternal Almighty God and called by Him to be His servant, to be His ambassador. I've analogized many, many times how many would think it would be an honor to be called to represent the country in France as an ambassador or some other country. We would think that would be a great honor. But beloved, that will not begin to equal our ambassadorship for the Lord. Are we true to our calling? Are we true to why the Lord has left us here? Well, it's facing the issues as they really are. Now, it's yielding to Him whose righteousness has been imputed to us believers. And that's why we're told, I believe it's in Philippians 2:13, it is God that worketh in us, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Someone says, I can't. There's no such thing in God's vocabulary as I can't, because it's Him working in and through His servants. He never asks us to do a thing that He doesn't give us enabling grace to be successful. There's no such thing as failure in the will of God. The victory is already won in the Lord. And we are called as His ambassadors. And we are just instruments. We are vessels that God has chosen to work through to get out His Word. Every one of us can testify to the fact that God has saved us, and we can tell others how that came about in and through the finished work of Christ. It is being equipped with the whole armor of God. Now, we go to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. He said, put on the whole armor of God that you might stand against the wiles of the cunning devices of the devil. Let's just turn and look at that. He says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Now, look. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. You know, when I look at truth, I'm reminded of what we read in the Lord's Prayer. John 17:17. He says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Then he says, the breastplate of righteousness, the imputed righteousness of the Lord. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fire darts of the wicked. You know, we're told in Colossians 2:6, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, even so walk ye in Him. Again, 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith and not by sight. That's how we receive Him. That's how we walk. By faith in the truth of the Word of God. He said, take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And on, He piecemeals the armor that we're to put on. And when we get the armor on, we don't run. We stand on the truth of the Word of God. It may cost us our life. Look at the Apostle Paul. We're living in perilous times now, beloved. It's the beginning. It's the beginning. I'm reminded of that great man of God, yonder in jail in Rome, Italy, waiting for the soldiers to come and sever his head from his body. He said, I'm now ready to be offered. The time of my departure at hand, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. I've kept the system of doctrine that was once and for all delivered to the disciples. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but to all them that love His appearing. Now, what are some results of wearing the armor of light? God is glorified and magnified when His children wear the armor of light. Let your light so shine before men that they may glorify your Father which is in heaven. They may see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. The ones who see their true condition and trust Christ are helped greatly. Again, if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. How shall they call on Him in whom they've not believed? How shall they believe in Him of whom they've not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? There's a sense in which all of us are preachers, are witnesses for our Lord. We're living in a dark world. We're to let our light shine. The darker the world, the brighter the light ought to shine. I read this analogy once. It said it's like an airplane coming in, circling and circling, trying to see the lights on the runway. You know there's lights on the runway. If the lights are out, it's dark and it's dangerous. We're just like a lamp on that runway. That plane is circling and circling and circling, looking for that runway. Our lights shine in a dark world to tell that Jesus is real in our lives. I like what we read here to God's people in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 in verses 1 through 5. Apostle Paul, as he writes to church, and here we are tonight, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Is there any wonder that Paul said, God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, of whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. If there's ever been a man live that had anything they could glory in, it was Paul. Highly educated. Speak 9 different languages fluently. But he said, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, of whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Yes, the one who proudly wears the armor of light is rewarded by the Lord. We could go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 11 through 15. We won't take the time to do that. Other foundation can no man lay, which is Christ Jesus. And we are building on that foundation. We need to build on Christ, the solid rock, the solid rock. God's people learn that their work for Him is certainly not in vain. And I like what we read in 1 Corinthians 15, 57, and 58. Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And verse 58 says, therefore, my beloved brethren, therefore, referring back to verse 57, thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Father, thank you for the gift of faith to believe that Jesus died for my sins according to Scripture, that He was buried and on the third day He rose again for my justification. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of love. The love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Cause us to love the truth of Your Word. Cause us to love people. Cause us to love to see the lost come to know You in the forgiveness of sin. Thank You, Lord, for the gift of hope. Looking for that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who's going to change these old vile bodies, fashion them like unto His glorious body. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know when He appear we be like Him. Thank You, Lord, for that precious promise. All the promises that we find in the book that brings joy to our heart, we are grateful. Thank You for Your church that You shed Your precious blood for. Thank You for the message that You give us to wake out of sleep, because our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. Help us, O God, to be that humble, submitted vessel to You that others can see Jesus in our lives. Thank You for the ones who have come this way tonight. Thank You that we've recognized our unseen guest in a great way. Thank You, Lord, for speaking through these lips of clay Your eternal word to Your eternal bound people. Stir our hearts to be more concerned about the lost about us. May our lives preach the gospel each day You permit us to live and move and have our being. In Your precious name I pray, I ask these things. Amen and amen.